Welcome to another episode of Living an Altered Life. And the temperatures are dropping, the leaves are falling, and that means it's Swami Shuffle time. So I thought I'd bring in the two diabolical planners and plotters behind this whole thing, Josh and James. You two ready to go for a run?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
All
absolutely.
right.
Let's go.
Are you sure? Okay, because I was thinking like maybe 220 miles or something like that. Is that good?
Yeah, that's a good warm up.
That's
All
perfect.
right, good warm up. You guys are awesome.
As
All right,
long as
so
Tyler's on the beach.
let's start out, and I know a lot of people know you, but let's start out with kind of who you are, how you got involved in this whole Swami Shuffle thing, and then we'll go from there. And Josh, since you're better looking, you can go first.
Perfect. Yeah. So, the Swami Shuffle kind of fell in our laps. Really, we were looking at trying to do. We were doing a lot of running. That was just me and James running and doing fundraisers associated with that for different fundraising organizations, and we decided we want to put on something of our own. And the run that we were working on at the time was a run from Paris Island, South Carolina, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. And this was right at the beginning of COVID. And I was still on active duty, and they wouldn't let me go that far out of the area because of the COVID restrictions at the time. And even with that, as me and James were trying to get me permission to do that, we're starting to realize a lot of the potential stops that we were looking at for aid and whatnot were going to potentially be shut down or have altered hours, which could make it a lot more complicated for an already complicated endeavor. So it wasn't looking very promising, even if I would have been able to get permission to do it. So what we both ended up doing was running the distance, which at the time, I think it was 320 miles or so, locally. And what I was able to get my command to allow me to do to get the big chunk of that knocked out was just leave my house in Virginia Beach, run down to the beach, and then just run down the Outer Banks and back.
Oh,
And
wow.
I did that, and it was absolutely awful. And I was just like, you know what? I really should get some other people to come do this because why not?
This is awful. Let me share it.
And it was a really cool, fun run for me to do. But I was like, hey, this needs to be a race, you know? And, I went back out there to, what was essentially the last, resupply stop for me. There was a little snack shop and fishing shop there in, Sandbridge Beach. And it happened to be closed down by the time we started planning this race. So I went into the little real estate company right next door to ask them about who owned that shop so we could at least use it for, the start and finish line because they have a nice little parking lot there and stuff. And that's when all those guys that are helping us out in Sandbridge really just jumped in and were like, absolutely, you can use it. And what can we do? This sounds awesome. How can we help?
Oh my
And so
gosh.
That whole Sandbridge Life community there has just really jumped in behind us since then, because we had some different ideas to move the race forward, where each year the finish line would be the start line for the following year. But the support we got out of Sandbridge was just miraculous, and so we were like, "Hey, we can't move this."
That's
So that's kind of
awesome.
how it all birthed the race, and then everything after that was kind of plotting and planning that me and James kind of worked out over time.
Wow, so that was that May of 2020?
21.
Okay.
Oh no. Yeah, 20 was 21 was the first year of this. Yeah, 20 is when. No, 19, right?
19, yeah.
19. Because we did it separate, then we did it together.
Yeah.
And then
Okay,
think
so
we started
Josh
out
did
there.
it in 2019, and then you guys did it together in 2020?
That sounds right.
Okay. And then
whatever year COVID was, whatever year the big COVID
2020
shutdown
was
was. Yeah.
COVID. So,
Okay.
yeah. So that must
So
be when
that's
you
when
two did it together.
that, yeah, 2020 would have been, I think when I did it, what was the first year of the race? 21?
21.
Yeah. So 20 was when that all happened. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I did not know that's how it literally started. So crazy idea, got the support of Sandbridge Life, and bam, now all of a sudden you're off and to the races, literally. So
Literally.
James, kind of take over. Tell us a little bit about, who you are. And Josh, are you fully retired now or soon to be retired?
I retire on November 30th is my official retirement date. I'm back in North Carolina and everything now, but I don't officially retire until November 30th.
Okay, so you will become a retired jarhead, which, what do they call retired jarheads?
Barheads.
Jarheads.
Jarheads. We gotta make up a different word because it's, you're retired jarhead. I'll figure something out.
Old.
It won't be nice, I promise. Because you're both wannabe Navy guys.
No.
Right, James, go ahead. You can follow up now.
Okay,
Tell
so
us who you are.
I don't even know where to follow up with, man. He here on the other show. I'm James. I'm a retired jarhead that runs. What do you want to know?
But tell us how, like, where did the name Swami Shuffle come from?
So
That's
Swami Shuffle came. That was a better Josh question than a James question, but Josh served with a gentleman by the name of Dustin Lang, and his nickname when they served together was Swami, and he took his life 28 February of 2020. So Josh called me one night and got a good buddy Alan, who Josh knows well, a good buddy Alan, who said that, you got those friends that when they call you and say, "I have a good idea," you hang up the phone. And unfortunately, I didn't hang up the phone because he had this great idea to invent this run in honor of Dustin Swami Lang.
okay.
So he called me, said, "Hey," he took his life in 2020. The 28th of February was on Saturday in 2020 or Sunday in 2021. So we used that as the start date for the first race. The official start date was 28 February 2021, in honor of Dustin Swami Lang. A really cool thing about it was his daddy flew out from his home and brought Swami's son with him for the pre-race dinner, which we do every year. And he was out there for the start of the race, and he has been involved in every race we've had except for one year. He had COVID, so he couldn't travel out here. But other than that, he's been out there for every race. So
Wow, yeah.
We run it to redeem the day, as we like to say, in honor of Dustin, in his service and what he did and the demons that he fought. So we're trying to get out there to help raise money so we can support other warriors that are going through similar the similar stuff. But we do it to redeem the day for Swami.
It's amazing. And so this will be the sixth official year in 2026. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And have there been any runners that have run it every year?
No, there have not.
Okay. But this year, there actually is one who's getting ready to start and most likely finish his fifth. Is that correct?
Yes, Mike Evans is starting his fifth one this year.
Okay. And Mike Edwards, I mean, for those who don't know him, is one of the most encouraging runners out there. And I think he's probably gotten half the field to sign up for this race.
He has brought quite a few people with him. Yeah, he's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
Everywhere I get,
and
everybody I
he brings
talk
somebody
to,
new every year too.
that's just it. It's like, oh yeah, Mike Edwards invited me. And I'm like, does Mike Edwards invite everybody to this race or what? It's amazing.
He does. He
All right. So first year, Josh, what was the first year like? Was it just a total cluster or did it go off smooth? What was it like?
I'll be honest, the biggest problem we had, well, the biggest two problems we had the first year, was it was a very small field, so it should have been a lot simpler, but we let a couple guys start on a different day. which we will never do again.
Okay.
But we had two guys who were signed up, and they called us and were like, "Hey, this guy has an obligation that just came up, and he won't be able to finish if we start on Sunday. Would it be possible if we knocked it out and we start on Friday?" And it was a small enough field that I wasn't too concerned about it, and we could go out there and start their time or whatever. And so we're like, "Sure, yeah, we'll do that." And then because of COVID, half of the people were running virtually.
Oh, wow.
We haven't done that since either. But the issue came when one of those two guys ended up having to drop, and we let them do it because they were both established, long distance runners, multiple 100 mile runs and stuff in the book. So we were like, "Hey, yeah, we'll knock it out." But one of them had to drop, but we weren't set up on that day to really be providing aid. We were just checking in on them. And so me and James were actually out on a run in Virginia Beach when they called, and they're like, "Hey, can you come pick us up?" And we're like, it's going to be about an hour before we get back to the house." And then by the time we drive, from Virginia Beach, because you can't go straight down the course like
Yep.
the runners are running, because the beach. So you have to drive out and around to basically the central part of the Outer Banks and then back up. We're like, "Hey, it's gonna, it'll probably be 4 hours before we can get to you."
Where were they? How far did they make it?
Liberty gas station. It was one drop. The other made it.
Okay.
But he was just the other side of Liberty.
Wow, that's a long drive.
Yeah, no shit. You're telling me, dude, I drove it.
Once or twice.
And got about 14 phone calls on the way asking where I'm at. Like, where are you at, dude? I'm cold. I'm hungry. It's like, dude, we told you it's 2 to 3, 4 hours from the time you called me. Like,
Wow.
I can't get there faster.
And James had to go by himself too, because it was the Saturday before, and I was coaching a baseball team, and so I couldn't go because I had to go coach. So he had to go down there and take care of all that by himself. So so that was probably the biggest struggle we had that first year. And we solved that issue by deciding we were never doing that again.
That was a
But
good
we would,
decision.
yeah, we also wouldn't ever entertain that again anyway, because I think the first year we had six guys running it,
Yeah, we had. Yeah.
and now we have people waiting every year, so we certainly would have entertained something like that when we got a bunch of other people trying to come do it. But
Yeah. And the signups have been, I mean, progressing every year, correct?
Yeah, I think we sold out in under 48 hours this year.
Wow.
It was fast. I'd have to go look again, but I think it was 48 hours. We're done.
That's
Definitely
incredible.
72, but I think 48. Each year goes quicker.
And so you got 30 people that are in it right now. Do you guys know how many are on the wait list?
I can show you that in a second. So we have 30 running it, but we've got 20 of those this year are returners.
Wow.
They've ran it previously, which I kind of, piece of me is kind of like, man, I'd like somebody else new to run it, but it makes me feel good that you've got that many people that want to come back again.
Right.
Because it's not easy. It's not an easy run. It's not cheap. It's the entry fee isn't bad, but when you figure in all the other costs that you have, it gets expensive quick. So to have 20 folks that have run it previously coming back, and we got 15 on the wait list.
Okay.
And of those
That's
15,
a
one, two, three, four, five of those 15 on the wait list are also prior runners.
Right, including last year's champ, correct?
Last year's and overall forever champ, yeah. Or so
Yeah.
far champ. I won't say forever. Somebody will beat
So
him.
far, yeah, I was gonna say for now, champ. I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah.
'cause that time keeps on getting lowered and lowered, and I sit there and go, I thought the time that Aaron Isles set in 2024 was unbeatable. And
58
then,
hours is crazy. Yeah, he ran 58, but we cut
yeah.
5 hours off that. We
Yeah,
cut 5 hours.
DiStefano isn't human. So,
So he's on the wait list, but he mentioned that he thinks he can go faster And a training buddy of his, Scott Raddick, is on the wait list, and he explained to Josh and I, now that he's ran it, he thinks he can run it faster as well. So
Right.
it'd be interesting if we can get those two in. Maybe some people drop and get those two in and see what happens. But
Yeah, I ran with Tyler Drapo last weekend in New Jersey. And I'm telling you what, dudes, that guy is in phenomenal shape. I wouldn't be surprised to see him drop a sub 52.
he ran with Thomas most of the way down to the lighthouse before he had to, before he took a break. His pro actually he was leading Thomas for a while.
Yep.
His problem, and he alluded to it when we talked to him last year, was he just don't know when to stop. So if he can figure out his rest and sleep pattern and control his tempo or control his pace, I think he could compete for that 53 as well. I mean, the dude's talented. He just
Very, very talented.
overran himself. I think he ran himself to exhaustion. I mean, I don't, where did we see him at, Josh, that he was like Thomas was sleeping and he was still running. I was like, I'm trying to
Yeah,
do it all. I don't want to sleep.
just stop. Thomas stopped right before the bridge, the first bridge, I believe. And we crossed the bridge, and he was, I'm pretty sure he was either right before or right after Freedom. And he was just still going hard. And that was everybody else, that first night stopped, and he basically ran until think morning, basically.
I think he just ran through exhaustion. Was like, I'm done. I can't.
Did he make it all the way to the lighthouse before he stopped?
No, I
Okay,
don't
so
think so. I don't think so.
because I couldn't
No.
remember if he stopped in Avon or if he made it all the way to the lighthouse.
No, I don't remember exactly where he stopped, but I believe it was one of them like little campgrounds or something between Liberty and the lighthouse.
Okay. Wow. And
But
that's where
I mean, he
Thomas
was,
then passed him, correct?
yeah, he was pushing, close to, I believe, 100 miles by the time he stopped.
Wow. That's mad.
Yeah, but he did. He once he went down, that's when Thomas got up, took off, and was able to catch and pass him. And then he seemed like he never slowed down.
Yep. And then, of course, everybody's favorite, Michelle Gray's back in it again this year, right?
Yeah, she's back. But I will say the one thing, with go back to Thomas real fast for a second, was we were at a spot where we saw two dudes running at us like close together, but they were separated.
Right.
Thomas outran his pacer.
Oh my gosh. That's
We get
crazy.
there, we're like, we see Thomas, he's like, I'm good, just if you got some water, throw it to me. So we threw him water, he took off. And then like about 100 yards behind him was this other guy. I'm like, hey dude. He's like, I can't keep up. I'm his pacer, I can't keep up with him.
And this is coming back from the
That
lighthouse.
was
So
coming back.
Thomas
This
has already
was
done over 100.
in the P Island area that they're coming back. Yeah.
Oh my God. The dude's a beast, man. The dude is an absolute beast. I hope you're able to get him in, because it would be very entertaining to watch some of those guys. Because even, I mean, Justin Merrigan could, lay up a really big number too.
I need to talk to him.
Oh
He
yeah.
lives close
Oh
by
yeah.
here. I'm going to get with him. He could do better than he did last year. Yeah.
Well, he had a huge chafing issue, dude.
Yeah.
When I met up with him at the Liberty station on the way back, he couldn't walk.
Ha
And yeah. And that's when I said, I know the miracle drug. And
Yeah.
when got
Well, I
him
think
the
that's what we're finding every year is people are pushing their first stops a little bit further.
Yep.
Because year one, and even really most everybody on year two, it was everybody takes off and everybody stops somewhere in that strip, down there, before the bridge in those like three Kitty Hawk area, and those three little towns that are on top of each other. And
Yeah,
then
I would say
everybody
the
went.
bulk of people stop between 47 and 62, somewhere
Yeah,
in there. And
and then the next night they would stop somewhere near the lighthouse and then either get up and go to the lighthouse in the morning and head back, and then kind of the same trip coming back. And what we're seeing now is people are starting to push past that 50 mile mark, and try to either make the end of that journey or stop down there by that little campground by the bridge down there.
That KOA.
I mean, people are just taking bigger chunks out of the day, and I think especially the guys that are returning, they're saying, okay, this is what I did last time, but if I do this, I can knock out just a little bit further, and I can take a little bit more time off. So most of the people that are returning are knocking off, several hours each year of their original time just by, having seen it one or two times and making some adjustments.
Yeah, I've been looking at the, just at the times and everything, the finishing times. I mean, if you think about, 2024, there were only two sub 24 runners, and last year there were five sub 24 runners. Yeah, five sub or four sub 24 runners last year. Michelle Gray was right there on top of it. So, the women's field is shaping up to be pretty competitive this year. So you've got some really, really good returning runners, right? You guys want to talk about them a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you got Michelle Gray coming back for her third. Katie Markesic coming back again. She was just along last year. She just kind of bebopped along, like, whatever, I'm having a good time.
Lisa's coming back.
Lisa Georges, who I will share something I probably shouldn't share in public,
The
because I
most
snagged it later.
deceptively fast person you'll ever meet.
The first year she got there, Josh and I were at the start line, and she was talking about, like, her finishes, what she does, and this and that. And we both looked at each other like, dude, this is different than, what you've done. Like, she's not going to finish. And I told Josh, she's not going to finish. And she
Well, she
finished
did
right up there
wrong.
at the top, dude.
Yeah.
She smoked it. And I was
She
like,
had some very aggressive when she was telling us her plan, she had some very aggressive like plans, and I was like,
we're like, no
I
way,
don't
dude. This ain't happening.
and she
Like,
and she crushed all that stuff she
yeah.
said she was gonna do. So I was like, all
She
right.
proved me wrong, which don't happen often, but I got respect for it. And then Kim Drake coming back. I mean, she did. We laughed like hell. I think 2 years ago, 3 years ago, she ran it. She completed it 1 year. Then the next year she comes back, she goes, yeah, I think I might need knee surgery. So this is my way to figure out if I do or not. If I complete it, I'm good. If I don't, I need it. And she went out and she DNF'd that year, but she's like, okay, get knee surgery. But she came back the following year and completed it.
Yeah,
I'm like, man,
amazing.
Diane, what a
Amazing. We got
badass.
Diane in it this year too.
Oh yeah, Diane Dart. Has she ran it before? Diane?
I
I
don't
don't think she's run it before. Okay. I mean, I
I
don't
think
know
this
that
is
she
her
has.
first time in it. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's a Marine, so she's good.
I heard she's like the Sally Hernandez younger version.
Okay. I don't know that I've
So
met her. I've seen her, I've talked, on the social stuff.
she's
But
got the chops, man. She's
yeah.
got the chops.
And
So
Stephen Dance is coming back again.
yep, that's gonna be awesome.
Him
And
and his buddy David both will be running. They're both running this year instead of, previous years David's ran it, or I'm sorry, Stephen's ran it and David's spot or crewed him. And then last year David ran and Stephen crewed. This year they're both running, so that'll be interesting. And then I'll tell you another
It'll
cool
be interesting to
story.
see if they stay together or if Steven takes off and runs his late race and lets David
I
run
think they'll
his.
stay together, man. They're boys. I think they'll stay together.
Yeah, they're so
That's
close.
just, yeah. I'll tell you another interesting story is Art McDonald
Yes.
is coming back for his, I think,
Third.
fourth,
No, I think this
third.
is third or well, it's maybe his fourth.
I think this is his fourth. Either way, third or fourth. But what's really cool is his son is coming down from Canada to join him.
Yeah. And now I'm confused because is Graham his son?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
And he's
Yep.
coming down from Vancouver, right?
Vancouver. Yeah, he's coming down from Canada to join him. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's
British Columbia.
going to be cool to see those two running together.
I think that's going to
And
be really neat.
one of my favorites every year to see in it, David Moore is coming back. And he's just, for those who have run with Dave, what a gentleman, huh?
He's good, dude. He's got like an 800-pound pack on his back. but has no stop in him.
Nope. Nope, he
That pack of
doesn't.
his, dude, kills me. Like, I'm like, dude, that's a lot of stuff. But as a fireman, I guess you're used to shit on your back, so that's good. But
And
yeah,
Peter Wye is
he's
coming
got
back
that
for his
whole like
second
don't
shot.
stop at a hotel thing too. He's
Oh,
like the
I
hotel. Yeah.
my favorite
My
Dave
bunk
Moore
buddy.
story from last year. Yeah, because last year was supposed to be in it, got sick, wimped out. I know. I'm just saying it before James does. So, my favorite story. I'm down in the in the Liberty gas station area, just bringing pizza to people, finding out whatever they need, and Dave Moore comes up and I give him a piece of pizza, and he's like, "Hey, man, that cot in your van looks comfortable." I said, "It is." He's like, "So you want to come back here around 2 in the morning?" I was like, "I kind of got to go to work tomorrow up in Virginia Beach." I said, "I don't think I can." And so then later I heard Stephen and David ran into him, and he was like, freezing cold in the parking lot, and they brought him over to the KOA and was like, "Come on, man, just come over to the KOA and catch a rest over here." I was like, Dave Moore, he's my favorite. He's always
Oh
one of my
yeah,
favorites in the race.
he definitely lives like that backpack mentality. He does his best to just find a good place on the side of the road to crash and
Yep.
get a couple
And
hours and then be on
there you go. And
his way.
my favorite finisher, co-finisher, the Australian who claims that he's British, Richard Gleave, is coming back.
Oh yeah. He
And
took
he.
his wife on a beach vacation to the Outer Banks because of that run.
No way. Are you serious?
Over this past summer or spring, he took her out there. Yep.
It's awesome. A
That's
beach
pretty cool
vacation.
shit.
Here, let me show you where I've run. That's awesome. That is awesome. And so last year, Richard was part of the party pack. Was
Party
that a
pack.
trip or what, man?
Oh yeah.
So, how many total did they have at one point in this party pack? Was there like six or seven of them?
Six,
Yeah,
yeah, six
I
or
think
seven. We might have been up to eight at one point because I think at one point there's maybe two people that were up ahead of that party pack that kind of just started to dial back and then they got back into that party pack and then decided they were more comfortable back there and so it just kind of got even bigger.
It's
And then
amazing.
it really didn't start to dissolve until people started getting towards the finish, people started breaking away, but
Yeah.
that was a full 2 days of the party pack staying together, it seemed like.
It was. It kind of seemed like they kind of coalesced somewhere after the lighthouse on the way back. And then all of a sudden, it was just this huge, big group of people that were staying together. It was really cool.
Yeah. So
Awesome.
they probably had more fun than the rest of us.
That's what
Hell, Josh and I were
they
trying to
all
join
said.
that party pack. They wouldn't let us.
Really? They said, not a chance.
No,
Get your
stay
asses
out. You
out
guys are,
of
yeah, get out. They wouldn't let us
here.
join.
That is awesome. All right, so we've covered a lot of the returning guys, and you got some pretty stout people that are first timers coming in.
Yeah.
Walter Handloser, who, as everybody know, at one point had the record for the most 100 milers run in a calendar year. He ran 50 100 milers in a calendar year.
If
And
I
then,
remember right, he was signed up last year on the wait list, but when invited, he couldn't make it just logistics wise.
okay.
I do believe.
Well, he is coming from Ouray, Colorado. So, I mean,
Yep.
that's gotta be the furthest distance anybody is traveling.
No.
Oh no, Vancouver. Vancouver's the furthest, right?
Vancouver. I'll tell you Hawaii, dude. You
He's
got a
coming
director
from
that comes from
Hawaii.
Hawaii. You got a director that comes from Hawaii every year. That's pretty far.
Oh, that's right. Well, not anymore. He's not in Hawaii anymore. That
Is
doesn't count.
Ouray further than Texas? Kingwood? Is it? I'd have to look. I don't know. But yeah, okay. I'll believe you.
It is.
But yeah, Ouray's pretty far.
That is awesome. And
29
then
Palms?
we've already
29
talked about
Palms,
Lyon
dude.
Jennings. So she's pretty stout runner. So that'll
I
be
know her name, but
women's
I don't
competition.
know her. Yeah, I know the
Dude,
name. I
she's
recognize.
tough, man. She is tough. It's gonna be fun to watch and see what she does. And then there's
Yeah.
people that I don't know. I know Diane Durden's in it. You guys know her because she's a Jarhead.
I
Yeah,
recognize her
she's.
from some of the online stuff. I don't know that I've met her, but I think she was part of Amy Adams, and I don't know which one. Somebody ran Western States or Badwater,
Badwater.
and
It
it
was
was an
part of, she
all-female
was one of Amy
Marine.
Adams' pacers. It
Amy,
was
Sally,
Diane,
Diane. Oh yeah, that's right.
Sally, and Amy. Yeah.
Yep, and somebody
That's
else.
right.
There's four of them that did that. Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty amazing. So she'll be up there too. And then of course, there's just Jamie Lugana has signed up again. So
Yep.
and what's really cool, so Jamie's coming back. He fought cancer off, and so he's coming back and telling cancer to take a hike. So
So
that's
yeah, he fought cancer off. He crewed, was it DeStefano the
Don.
first year?
Yeah, no, he crewed Don Knotts
Oh,
the
Don
first year.
Knotts. Yeah. Yeah,
Yep,
he crewed Don
in
Knotts and
24. Yeah.
yep.
Yep. And so yeah, so a lot of people coming back, and just it's going to be an exciting time. Are we going to get to have fun with Back Bay again?
We're still playing with Back Bay, but yes. Yeah, Back Bay's good.
So we just planned that, yeah, there's a 12-hour period where, no go.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Yeah,
So those of
it
us
seems like
who are
that's going to
listening
be
to the
the,
podcast, go ahead, Josh.
it seems like for the foreseeable future, that's going to be part of the permanent agreement, is that the 30 minutes after sunset to 30 minutes before sunrise, we got to stay out of there for the nature preserve portion of that. And that it sounds like that'll remain one of the stipulations of us being able to get the permit at each year, which is still them working with us, because they had a thing for a long time where you couldn't get permits simultaneous years. You had to you could only do it like once, and then you had to wait 3 years or something. But because of all the support and everything that we got, we were able to get them to kind of be lenient on that and allow us to continue to do it every year. But it's they remain pretty firm on the keeping everybody out of there at night thing. So,
Well, we'll
but no, I
follow the
think
rules.
Andy,
Everybody followed the rules last year, right?
yes, as far as we know, we didn't have anybody in there
as
in
best I
the
can tell you.
I know we had several people who were, their times reflected that. They got to the edge of the Back Bay, and waited on the beach for sunrise.
Yeah,
So I guess they got
Tyler had
nice.
a good hour or so, hour or more wait at the sign. So
Yeah.
he got to get really, really friendly with the sign and the grass there, trying to stay warm
Yeah.
on the beach in the wind. So much
So,
fun.
but part of that, I kind of like it. I mean, it was kind of frustrating the first year that kind of came out, but now I kind of like it because it's just one more thing that, our whole idea of this was like, this is one of those races where, you got to go out there and just figure it out. And they threw in an extra figure it out piece, and we're like, hey, also, if this wasn't miserable enough, plan around this or sit on the beach for hours.
Yeah,
So
well,
I'm.
I'm gonna reveal a secret to defeating laying on the beach at the Back Bay sign. You guys ready?
Bring it.
So 1.5 miles further up the beach is the False Cape State Park, and there's a campground. And if you divert, it's like 0.55 miles, you get to all these camping areas which have trees, but in case it's raining, they
Yeah.
also have an outhouse.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So,
But that's another 0.55 miles, man. That's
it, well, you know,
1.1 round trip.
yes, but I am the master of bonus miles. So
Hey,
I am the one that
that's just getting more for your
made
money, right?
Richard. I am the one that made Richard go up into Corova so we could
And
get
he
a
still
break from the
cusses you out
wind.
for that today. He's still cussing you for that.
He is. He, did you know what he told Peter Y? He said, "Peter, whatever you do, do not listen to my corner. If he tells you to hit the beach, do not hit the beach. It's the wrong thing to do." Can you believe somebody would say something like that?
I believe he's not the first person or the last person to say that.
Probably.
Don't listen to Mike.
Swap Meet Shuffle is going to be a blast in 2026, isn't it?
It always is a
Oh,
blast,
yeah.
dude.
I can't wait.
All right. But we got to remember why we're doing this. So the big focus with Swami Shuffle is, yes, you got 30 crazy runners who are willing to tackle 220 plus miles. And that's amazing. But there's a bigger why for this thing. And that's what I want you guys to talk about is why do we do this thing? So, James, you want to start?
Yeah, I can start, man. We do it to bring awareness and, more importantly, action to be taken to assist our veterans who are suffering internally. As veterans, we don't like to reach out and ask for help, and a lot of times we don't know where the help can be found at. There's 843,000 billion trillion different organizations out there that are providing goods and services. So when Josh and I started this, it wasn't about him and I providing a goods or a service to help the veterans. We looked at local grassroots types of organizations, the little things that provide the best help. You got huge ones that do good, but the places that do the best are the small places, the grassroots things, the things close to home. But where they fail at is the money piece of it and how they can fund what they provide. So that's where Josh and I kept talking to, like, look, let's try to help the smaller guys. So we don't provide goods and services. We just do things like this to help, in part raise awareness. But as the slogan is that you've seen on the shirts and that we talk about, is awareness without action is failure. So we want to take action to help these guys, because at the end of the day, in the neighborhood of 8,000 service members or veterans are taking their lives because of the demons that they're fighting. And I've said it every talk we've had, and I say it a lot. Is, numbers without context are meaningless to us. We don't understand what that 8,030 people is per year. That's 22 people a day, which doesn't sound big, but if you break it out, Afghanistan and Iraq combined was 8 plus 14, 22 years. So Iraq, basically, the Iraqi war was 2003 to 2011. Afghanistan was roughly 2001 to 2014. You add those two things together, and it's roughly 22 years worth of combat between the two of those. When we take combat casualties, which we as an American public accept, combat casualties, we have less than 7,000 casualties during that combined 22-year span, 6,916 casualties. Take a look at Vietnam, which a lot of people are familiar with. 20 years, 20 years in Vietnam, we lost just over 50,000. Or 58,000, just over 58,000 service members to combat casualties. Again, a number we accept because it's combat casualties. What we don't look at is what we lose to veteran suicide,
Yep.
the folks we ask to do those things. So if you take and break that out, Iraq and Afghanistan combined, roughly 20 years, 6,916 combat casualties, we lose 8,030 per year to suicide. If we break that out to Vietnam, 20 years worth of the Vietnam War, 8,030 times 20, 152,000
Wow.
compared to 58,000 lost in combat casualties. So our suicide rate is phenomenal. It's crazy. It's super high. And that's what he and I are trying to work at. And Josh can tell you better. When we started running, if my mind serves me right and the numbers right, it was 5 straight months that he had a personal brother, a close friend, commit suicide, that he went and attended their funerals over a 5 month period. 5 month period, each month he had another one done. It's insane. So that's the big why of what we do this. People will say that veteran suicide is kind of related to civilian suicide. But when the research starts getting looked into, veterans are 21% more likely to commit suicide than their civilian counterparts. So that's what we're trying to do is bring awareness to it. Let's talk about it. But more importantly, let's take action to help alleviate it. Let's help stop it.
Exactly. So Josh, jump in here and tell us how are we going to raise funds and what are we going to set as a goal for 2026?
The first and foremost, so all the money that we raise from race entry fees and all that, me and James don't, we don't take anything out of that. So I'm actually on a couple different nonprofits and stuff, and a lot of times stuff like travel and different stuff like that gets covered by the nonprofit. We don't do any of that. All of the money that goes into it either goes into, you know, the very limited debacle and all that, which we source most of that stuff ourselves. And like the guy who's making the buckles is a friend of James now. So we don't come out of pocket much for any of that kind of stuff. And it's why we went with the wood one, because the first year we made them ourselves, and then he had a friend who was like, hey, this is what I do. I do, you know, woodworking and epoxy and all this stuff. So, hey, I like to be a part of it. And so that's how we limit us using any of the money on anything but the goal. And then race entries all go back towards raising that money. And then we have the website. So this is about the time where we'll start kind of pushing that out over social media and whatnot. And there's a donation link on the website. That
And is
donation
there going to
link,
be a QR code again this year, guys?
we will absolutely provide all of that stuff. So
And are we
we
going to
do
make
have
that available in a way that people can print out the QR code and put it on their packs for, because we always run into people that are like, man, how do I give? Is there going to
yeah,
be like a,
absolutely. That's a great idea. I hadn't thought about that, but there were several people last year who told us that, hey, we stopped somebody in the outer. Want to donate? How can I donate? So, yeah, that's a great idea. We don't even need to talk about it. I'll just tell you, yeah, we will have it printed out and ready for you. So
Perfect.
we'll give each of you a card of some sort to be able to utilize that.
Awesome.
And so that's how we raise the money. We have Venmo, Cash App, and then we have the donation link on the website. So there's multiple different options to donate, and donations throughout the year where we raise money, because me and James do other stuff, our own runs and stuff to raise money, and that all goes to our nonprofit that we started, and that's Awareness in Action. And that goes back to what James was saying. For years we were doing just Mission 22. The first year we did it was just Mission 22, and for the years before we started this race, we just donated Mission 22. And we went with them because we looked at all these big ones, at what they were doing, and we looked at how they were rated and where their money was going. And some of them, not a lot of the money was going where we were hoping it was going. And then a lot of them, the money was going where we were hoping it was going. They were really just donating a big portion of what they raised to Mission 22. And
Wow.
so that really made us dig into Mission 22. And we loved what they were doing. And everything we saw and every review we looked at just spoke so highly of them. And the money was going where they were saying they were going. And then we actually ran into a couple of people that work or volunteer for Mission 22, and we're able to pick their brains. And so we're like, hey, Mission 22 is where it's going to go. And we still do the money we raise through the race. We still donate half of that to Mission 22 because we think what they're doing is great and they are making a difference. But the other half is with Awareness in Action. And what we are doing is what James was talking about earlier, that
Give a couple
grassroots stuff
examples
that's
of some of the
impact.
grassroots things you do. And as a veteran who's been in combat, talk a little bit, Josh, about why these seemingly small things make such a huge difference in a veteran's life.
Yeah, absolutely. So, most of the people, and like he said, you know, I had that Swami was one of those when he talked about the 5 straight months in a row where, you know, somebody that I served with, had committed suicide. Swami was one of those. And what we were talking about was the guys that you think about in the military, most are not type of people who are going to go ask for help. Even if they are aware that they have a problem, they're aware that they're suffering, that whatever the conditions are, that's one of the harder. It's easier to take their life than it is to go tell somebody what's going on and what they need. And so as me and James brainstormed how to, we were really happy with Mission 22 and what they were doing, but we were trying to brainstorm a way to address that issue. And what we came up with was the biggest thing you hear from veterans, the hardest issue that they have to deal with once they leave the military is that connection, that brotherhood that they had in the military is gone. And I'll tell you, I know Swami's family. They're supportive. They love him. They care about him. I know his family and his extended family, and he wasn't lacking support, and people knew there was a problem, and the help was there, and it was offered, and so just using him as example, he has a great family and a great support system, and we still went through this, right? So, but the reality is, the me being a veteran and having served in both Iraq and Afghanistan, I can tell you, I have the most amazing wife in the world, but she's really limited in her ability to impact any of that kind of stuff, because she just wasn't there. She, I mean, she sees a lot. She's an emergency room nurse, so she sees all these crazy things that I saw. She sees them on a daily basis, but it's just not the same, and that's what brothers have a hard time with, is the being able to ask for help. So what we started trying to do was find ways to get veterans together without it being about suicide prevention, while still being a way to address it. So if we can take a bunch of veterans and say, hey, we're going to get you, we have a veterans only jiu-jitsu class or Krav Maga class or whatever it is. And so now you give them an opportunity to come, on a regular basis and experience that brotherhood that they're missing. Or you get a bunch of guys together and you pay for a fishing charter. Say, hey, this fishing charter's covered. We got this many spots, and you get the guys into it. And where somebody can reach out and be like, hey, my husband's really having a hard time. I don't know what to do. Hey, we're running a fishing charter next month. Can you get him to just come out and do a fishing charter? Because maybe he won't go to the doctor, but he'll come hang out with a bunch of other veterans and catch some fish, right? And now it puts him in a position to reconnect with people, instead of pull back and self-isolate. And that's the goal of awareness and action, is just to create those opportunities for connection, and pull people out of the isolation in the darkness, bring them back into the light.
That's awesome. Yeah, so what you're talking about, Josh and James, is you're creating a new community for your brothers to be a part of in a natural way that isn't a counseling room, correct?
I don't know if I'd say a new community, but another. I mean,
Another.
because
There you
who's
go.
out there? But yeah, another community, someplace else. Because as Josh said, it's not, we got these thoughts, ideas, whatever going on. We're not going to voice them 90% of the time. That's just, or probably more than that. It's just not going to happen. It's just, you just start talking, connecting, and most times it's through something like that. Like you're rolling a mat in jujitsu, you have a little break, you start talking about things. You're on the boat fishing, you start talking about things. You're out, hunting, you're talking about things. You're out hiking, whatever. But you got people that have shared experiences that you would never know. And it's just it's we're just taught as a society, it's hard to ask for help. And that's why I tell people all the time, don't. And I say it is like, hey, if you need something, call. But the reality is, it has to turn the other way. And I know I'm guilty of it. Instead of saying, hey, call me when you need me, how about I reach out to you before you need me? So if we can create these relationships of people doing something they enjoy, they start a conversation, you have some things in common, then maybe you've got that connection now that can help you in the long run.
And sometimes that is the answer, right? Sometimes people aren't necessarily looking for an answer. They're just looking to know that
Somebody's listening.
there's somebody else there, they're just looking for an outlet. They don't necessarily need to fix the problem right now. They just need something to do or somewhere to be, instead of the problem. And that's the goal, right? To get that's just kind of hanging out.
It's gonna be awesome. It's
And
gonna
I
be
will tell you,
awesome.
dude, I've got to find it from the first Clear the Fog. That was what we called the run from Parris Island to Camp Lejeune.
Okay.
Party time. So the first one that we had to do separately. Josh and I shared a ton like on that, and we have a Facebook page called Clear to Fall. But he had a little video, and I'll find it and send it to you, Mike,
Okay.
where he talks about the puzzle. He talks about the puzzle and how that relates to PTSD. And Josh, I don't know if you remember talking about that, but that fucking hits hard in the heart, man. It hits hard, and I've had several
Cool.
people respond to me about that. It's that puzzle. You remember
Awesome.
it, Josh?
I want to see the video. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember what you're talking about, but there's no way I could re-say any of that. So
I'm
I
gonna
was
find it. I'll send it to both of y'all.
200 to 300 miles in and
It
delusional,
was,
and
and it's
it was
probably like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, it's probably
it was a
2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But you talk about the PTSD and like you got all the pieces, and it's like when you get to the end of the puzzle and there's one piece missing, and you flip the fucking table.
moment
And I mean, that was when I saw that was powerful to me, and I've had several people reach out to me seeing that video, how powerful that was. So I'll send it to both of y'all. I'll dig
Awesome.
back through and find
That'd
it,
be
but
awesome.
it was amazing to hear it from a different perspective
Yeah.
and whatever. But yeah.
That is awesome. Well, gentlemen, man, I so appreciate you guys creating this race. It's my favorite race. I look forward to it all year round.
I'm excited.
Good. It's gonna be the best year ever. We're gonna blow the doors off that fundraising number this year, gentlemen.
I hope so.
Oh yeah. I feel like every year is the best year, and every year is better than the last one.
We have raised more each year.
Yeah, we haven't hit the number we've been trying to hit any year, though. The goal is usually 22,000 we raise through the race, and we haven't hit that yet.
Hey, this is the year. This is the magical year, man.
I hope
Oh, yeah.
so. I have faith. I'm believing it.
All right. So you guys know how we like to li end the Living an Ultralife podcast. You guys have done this a couple times. All right. So Josh, Living an Ultralife, what's the first thing that hits your brain?
For me, it's just perseverance, mental toughness. That's what it comes down to, is just when you're living an ultra life, ultra running is hard, but it's more mentally hard than physically hard. If you can just keep taking that next step,
There you
that's an
go.
ultra life mentality.
All right, James, you go. Living
So
an
living
ultralife.
ultra life, man, it's 90% mental. The other 10% is all in your mind. That's
You
what's
thief. You cannot steal
up. No, man. No. Living
that.
ultra life, man. Just it's living life to its best. It's living life to its ultra. It's we set goals too low and succeed too often rather than set goals too high and fail. When we look at the ultra world, man, it's about setting that goal big and bold and scary, and going after it, and understanding that, going back to that mental piece that I stole from him, is that really the reality is our mind shuts down before our body does. We are capable physically of so much more than we are mentally. So when I live the ultra life, dude, I mean, and I'm guilty of slacking and being a wimp sometimes and not doing it. But it's about just pushing,
Sometimes.
man. Just what are you capable of? What can you do? What can we accomplish? Going after it, man.
That's awesome. All right, gentlemen, you guys have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much.
All right, brother.
Brother,
You
you
too,
too.
man. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.